At a million other choices, we discuss some dark and troubling topics. If dark and troubling is not your thing, mine might not be the right podcast for you. If you like your dark topics discussed without pesky ads and are looking for some additional content from me, you can sign up for the exclusive feed. The link should be in the show notes, and if not, you can find me on redcircle.com. I research each case myself, and I do my best to use a wide variety of sources, preferably directly from court documents when they're available, to ensure that the information is as accurate as possible. But I cannot verify the truth of all reporting that is publicly available. So this episode has been produced for information and entertainment purposes only and should be taken as such. And with all my legal and publicity stuff out of the way, let's listen to what words I will inadvertently mispronounce today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Zaxby's just out Philly the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back with garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.
I am your host, Kim, and this is A Million Other Choices. So the case I have for you today, I actually have to censor it a little bit because there are parts that are too much for just talking about in general. Like, it is gross, but it's kind of an unexpected gross, which we'll get to. So I'll at least tell you why it's not fit for podcast broadcast so that you get the gist of it. But when I first heard this story, I had to actually pull the arrest affidavit myself and read it like six times to just to make sure that I was reading what I thought that I was reading. So there is a trigger warning here. There is discussion of self-harm and animal abuse ahead. So if that is not your thing, please turn away now. This is the murder of Connor and Brinley Snyder. Connor Seth Snyder was born on August 12, 2010 in Allentown, Pennsylvania to his mom Lisa. Now, I have no idea the whereabouts or identity of his father, but it doesn't sound like his dad was around because it sounds like Connor was given his mom's surname because I don't believe Lisa was married at the time that Connor was born. But 9 years before Connor had been born, his older brother Owen had been born. And this 9-year age gap didn't really bother Owen. He took his little brother Connor in under his wing. And then on August 5th, 2015, his little sister Brinley joined him and Owen. And both Owen and Connor just absolutely adored their little sister, like from the minute that she came into the world. And rather than seeing her as taking away, you know, some of the attention from either of them, Connor especially was just thrilled and considered Brinley like his littlest buddy. And when Connor was ready to start school, his mom, Owen, and him and Brinley moved into the rural community of Kempton, which is a tiny little hamlet town of only about 169 people. But there's actually quite a few tourist attractions in their little town, including there's the Kempton County Fair, there's the Hawk Mountain Sanctuary, which is like a wild bird preservation society, and the trails there actually link and form part of the Appalachian Trail. And so the small family settled into this cute little brick home with a very large front and backyard for Connor and Brinley to play in. And then they had neighbors with kids around their own ages. And the actual house was on the 2400 block of Route 143 in Albany Township. And in September of 2019, Connor was 8 and had just started 3rd grade at Greenwich Elementary School in neighboring Clumsville, where he would take a bus to and from school each day. And then Brinley, who was 4 at that time, had started pre-K at Early Learning Community in Kutztown. And all of these communities are in Berks County, Pennsylvania, so really like close little towns around Kempville. Connor was popular. He was outgoing despite having, he had some issues. Like he was a little overweight for his age. He loved playing video games, making forts. And then Brinley was just, she was just a little princess who loved the movie Frozen, especially of course, Elsa and Anna. I mean, she's 4. What kid in 2019 didn't love Frozen? She loved to play dress up. And then Owen at the time was 17. He was going to high school. I don't know a lot about Owen. And unfortunately, I also know very little about Connor Owen and Brinley's mom, Lisa, before 2019. I'm not sure what she did for work. There's very little information about her available, which sucks for somebody as nosy as me, because I like to know everybody's business. But I do know a few things about her that come later. So Connor, when he started 3rd grade, which would have been the beginning of September of 2019, he had a few issues that he was kind of dealing with. Like first, he was kind of on the heavy side. Now, when I see pictures of Connor, yeah, I mean, he's husky for sure. But to me, he looks like, you know, one of those boys that as soon as he gets into baseball or football, like, so by high school, he's going to be just jacked. So he's a big kid. But from what I understand of him, he stayed active. And I would have thought that he would have burned off some of that baby fat as he got older. He also had some fine motor skill issues, which like an issue of dexterity. So he was having some issues with like printing and just working on his fine motor skills, but he's 8. So like whatever. Now as an adult, we would think whatever, but kids see things a little bit differently. So he was apparently being bullied in school and having some anger issues over that, like an unwillingness to want to go to school. And according to Lisa, Connor's bullies had started in on him in the first grade, and he didn't like to talk about school very much. He was often angry after school, but he just wouldn't really talk to her very much about specifics, particularly about the kids on the bus, because Connor knew that his mom would call the school, and he was afraid that that was going to make things worse if the kids got in trouble. And so sometime in the month of September, Connor actually apparently made an attempt to harm himself. Now, how and by what means, I don't know, but he's 8, so thankfully, he was unsuccessful. And his mom, Lisa, sat him down and said, please, like, if you are ever thinking of hurting yourself, you have to talk to me first. And like, this would have been really frightening for any parent. I mean, your kid's struggles are your struggles. It's just really painful to watch your kids go through any kind of emotional pain. So this would have been a heartbreaking conversation, especially when Connor had told his mom that he would have like already done it, but he was scared of going alone. So this is just like, this is terrible, but it gets worse. So on the afternoon of September 23rd, 2019, which was a Monday, everything's going perfectly normal in the Snyder household. Brinley's already home from preschool. It doesn't sound like Owen was home at this time at all. So Connor got off the bus at 3:49, and like usual, he ran to the house, rushing in to get his iPad. But he changed his mind and decided that his laptop was a better option, but he couldn't find the charger for it. So he came down to the kitchen and asked Brinley if she wanted to help him make a fort downstairs in the basement. She said, sure, happy to do something fun with her big brother. So Connor asked his mom if he could take the kitchen chairs downstairs with them to help them make like the walls of this fort. And mom said, well, if you can get them down there by yourself and bring them back up, please, because I'm busy folding laundry. Now, for an 8-year-old, the chairs were heavy, like they were like the bar. They were wooden bar height chairs, but he managed to trudge them down one by one, doing that slow stop and go, like one step, put it down, then take the next step. Mom says it was a slow go, but he got one down. She was hearing the plunk of it landing on a step and then the creak as he would pick it up and move it to the next step. And after he got one down, he came back up, got himself a drink before tackling the next one. Came up, got himself another drink. And then mom said, you know, didn't want anything else to take down there with her. And he said, yes. And he grabbed this. It was a new dog lead that she had just purchased from Walmart earlier that day. It was one of those vinyl covered ones for big dogs. Like, it's not a leash, it's a lead. And the Snyders did have, they had a pit bull. Someone's like, okay, whatever. So after they go back downstairs to finish their four, she goes out to give the dog a pee, throw the ball with him for a few minutes and have a cigarette. And then she came back in and she went downstairs to ask the kids if they wanted frozen pizza or Chef Boyardee for dinner. And at 4:30, Lisa called 911 to report that both Connor and Brinley were found hanging in the basement from a support beam. Now, she tried to lift Brinley off, but her anxiety was causing her to sweat too much and she couldn't get the, it's like a eye latch thing. She couldn't get that latch or the, it's a metal swivel eye hook that they call them off. And then 8-year-old Connor was too heavy for her to attempt. So she ran back upstairs and called 911.
5590 from the caller. Both children have been they're hung in their unknown time at this time. But she really hate that. For one, both children are hanging in the basement. But Captain 4041. Captain 44, any indication from the caller if the scene is safe or how these children ended up there? She mentioned that the 8-year-old has been bullied and has made threats of doing this, but didn't want to go alone. And sadly, he may be the aggressor of the situation. At this time, it should just be the mother of the two children on scene.
So that's absolutely it's terrible. And so when the two EMT workers show up about 10 minutes later, what they found, of course, is going to haunt them forever. The dog lead, which was, again, it's one of those cable ones that's covered by vinyl. And then they have those metal slip hooks on each end. It was wrapped over one of the support beams in the basement. And then one end of the lead was around Connor's neck and the other end around Brinley's. The kids were about 3 feet apart from each other and the wooden bar stools were overturned on either side of them. So they were cut down. Both kids were in full cardiac arrest. So they were airlifted to the Lehigh Valley Hospital. Both of them were resuscitated, but they were put on life support when they arrived at the hospital. Now, right away, the sheriff's office is called in because an 8-year-old dying by self-harm and then taking the life of his 4-year-old sister was completely unheard of. Like, I have heard of kids as young as 10 kind of self-harming, but it's pretty rare. But Lisa said that the bullying that he was experiencing was relentless and that he was encountering on the bus. But when Owen came home and was questioned, he didn't understand why Lisa would have told him that the kids played forts in the basements all the time. Because he said that that was strange. They had only ever been down there once. And that was last Christmas to practice riding their scooters that they'd gotten for Christmas. I mean, it's a basement. Kids hate playing in basements because it's creepy and it's scary down there. Now, Connor and Brinley did make forts all the time, but they did that in the living room usually with couch cushions and blankets like kids always do. He didn't really know anything about the bullying. He had asked Connor once about it recently when his mom had mentioned that Connor had said that he'd been bullied, but he said everything was fine. So Owen is just like, obviously he's stunned and he's just completely grief-stricken over the loss of his brother and sister. Now, this investigation moves really quickly from here. So I'm going to tell you the main points of what and when things were discovered, and then we'll hear a little bit from the police on some points. And then I'll tell you what I can of what's in the probable cause affidavit. I just have to figure out how to say it without saying it. So cops were able to get a search warrant signed and ready to go by 8:30 that very night. And the house was secured right away because if this was in fact self-harm by an 8-year-old, and they would have some serious investigating into what was going on in Connor's life, that he would be probably the first 8-year-old in history to commit like a murder-suicide. And I think pretty much from the hop, the cops aren't really buying Lisa's story that Connor had tied up his sister and then managed to do the same with the other side of the lead to himself.
Well, I would agree that we all may think that a mother whose children are found hanging would make every effort possible to save them. That was not done in this situation.
So obviously they seized the dog lead, the chairs. They took pictures of the beam with the lead over it. Now this lead itself was marked as super and rated for 250 pounds. They also grabbed the iPad and laptop that they belonged to Connor and a UMX cell phone that was found on a table in the hallway in the entranceway that belonged to Lisa. Now, this particular phone that they got ended in a numbers 2280. So this was, in case you were wondering, it's two Pennsylvania state troopers along with a member of the criminal investigation unit that are doing this initial investigation, if you're wondering. Like, I'm pretty sure Kempville doesn't have many officers that would deal with the deaths of children. So this was the state police, and I believe they were all from Albany, not necessarily Beck County, if that matters. Like, it works differently down in the States than it does in Canada. So if I get that county stuff mixed up, my apologies. So while at the hospital, they check with Lisa, and she tells them that the iPad and laptop are Connor's and that UMX phone was hers, but she didn't have it on her. She'd left it at home. And she gave them that 2280 phone number that confirms that the phone was hers that they had seized. The next day they interviewed a woman. Now she's just known as Witness One. So I know that she's a woman. Now how they found her and what her relationship to Lisa Owen Connor or Brinley is, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. But I'm going to assume she's either a friend of Lisa's or a family member. But I don't think it's Lisa's mom, like the kid's grandma. She's just known as Witness One. Anyway, she received a text from Lisa on the 16th of September, so just less than a week before this incident. And I should mention that both Connor and Brinley were still on life support at this time. So they were actually removed from life support on the 26th, so on the Thursday, and then both passed away, sadly. This is the Tuesday, so they're still alive at this point. Now, Witness One says in this text that she got from Lisa that she told her that Connor was being bullied and was feeling suicidal. But then when Witness One came that same day to pick Connor up from school, he seemed like he was fine. He was laughing. He was talking with his friends. He didn't say anything to her about being depressed, bullied, or thinking about any kind of self-harm. But this Witness One also told police that about 3 weeks before this, Lisa had come over to her house and her mom was there. Now, I'm not sure if this is Lisa's mom or Witness One's mom. It isn't clear in the affidavit, but regardless, she told Witness One in the presence of this mom that she was depressed and was having trouble just kind of getting out of bed these days and had stopped caring about her kids anymore.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the cops think, like, it's pretty interesting that she was depressed too. So they take a look at the video footage from the bus on the day of the incident, like what could have set all of this into motion. But they can't see anything going on that bus that day. Like, there didn't appear to be any insults flung around, no fights picked. Like, Connor's just sitting there with his friends and talking and laughing about 8-year-old boy stuff. And he gets off the bus. He seems running, like, he's happily running into his house. So please find this really interesting as well. Now on the 26th at the hospital, now this is the day that Connor and Brynn were taken off life support and ultimately died. Lisa told the police that she got a new phone and gave them the number, which ended in 8419. And it kind of made sense that she would have got a new phone. I mean, the 2280 number was the one that was seized. And it could be weeks before she gets it back. But put a pin in this because she was questioned again about the events of the 23rd. She told the same story that the kids had been calling Connor fat and he had this speech delay and wasn't as coordinated as the other kids. And he was coming home angry. He didn't want to talk about school, that he didn't want to die alone, and that it's probably why he took his sister down to the basement with him. And that she had bought the dog lead the day before, like she had ordered it online from Walmart and then had gone the day of the incident on the 23rd to Walmart to go get it. She hadn't really thought much about it when Connor wanted to take it downstairs to play forts, which is a little bit strange. Like, I used to always ask my kids exactly what they planned on doing with anything that they took out of my kitchen, my bedroom, my bathroom, like just about anywhere in the house. Like, why do you want it? What are you planning on doing with it? Don't wreck it. Put it back where you found it. You know, the drill, you've all said it before. Don't pretend you don't. And no, they never put it back where it should be, like, ever. So just kind of remember that. Like, she had ordered this dog lead online on the 22nd, and that she used her phone. Like, she used her phone as kind of like her computer. And this particular new phone was a Galaxy Note 9. The iPad and the laptop that they took were used by Connor. And actually, I don't know if any of this stuff is important to the story and all the weirdness and disgusting that comes later, but I like my details. And it's mentioned in the affidavit, so I mention it too and ask you to just kind of put a pin in it. So on the 27th, they tracked down the occupational therapist that was working with Connor at the school. And she indicated that she had started working with Connor the school year before, so the 2018-2019 school year, and had started working with him again since he had started the 2019-2020 year, so third grade. She had been referred to work with him because he was behind in some areas. He had below average visual motor skills and perceptual vision. So in other words, he had bad hand-eye coordination and depth perception. So they show her this dog lead. I mean, not the actual dog lead, but the one just like it, and asked her if, in her opinion, if he could undo the clasps. And she said, well, no, because he struggled with having any kind of strength when pinching his index finger to his thumb. Like, he just didn't have the fine motor skills in the strength in his fingers to be able to do that. Okay, well, so like when he tied a rope or tied his shoes or whatever, like, what did that look like? And she said, well, he really struggled with trying to find the middle of things, like a string. So even if he got the rope like sort of looped, he trying to get the end through the middle, and just even just finding the middle, like he didn't have that depth perception. And again, he lacked the dexterity of for tying things. So do you think that he could have stood on a chair and then loop this rope over the beam? And she says no, because his weight combined with his lack of strength, because again, he's 8, would have created an issue for him. Like, he was a clumsy kid, and anything that he did that took dexterity would take him about twice as long as another 8-year-old. So they show her a photo of how the dog lead was looped over this beam. And she says, there's no way, because you see how it's exactly centered. Like, there's an equal amount on both sides. Like, there's no way he could do that. And then they said, well, have you ever seen him like move a chair? And she said, well, of course. Like, he bumps into things because, again, he struggles. He doesn't have the strength. And then combine that with his depth perception issues, and he's like walking into everything with the chair. So at this point, they're pretty much doubting Lisa's story. But why on earth would a mother throw her own kid under the bus as a murderer of his little sister before then taking his own life? Like, why? And why would you even try to make it look like that if you were the one responsible for it? So on the 30th of September, so now we're a week out, the medical examiner, who's Dr. Michael Johnson, performed an autopsy on both Connor and Brinley and determined that the cause of death had definitely been hanging, but the manner of death for Brinley was homicide, but so was the manner of death for Connor. They also weren't able to find anyone, like literally anyone, that could substantiate that Connor was being picked on or bullied in school. In fact, it appeared the exact opposite was happening to him. Connor was, he was engaged, he had friends, he laughed a lot. People were really drawn to him, and despite his challenges that he was having, he loved his sister. He was loved very much by his big brother, who spent a lot of time with him when he could. Like, everything seemed really good with him. So the police decide that maybe it's time to start looking at Lisa's phone records. So they get a search warrant to take all of her phones. But she's like, oh, that Samsung Galaxy one that I had, I lost that the night that the kids had their accident, and I don't know where it is now. And well, that's really interesting, because you said that you got that one because you couldn't find the one that you had on the 23rd, which is the one that we took. And she said, yeah, I don't know where it is. So what they had to do was like a sort of a Google search of the phones. Like they can still get the phone records, but not the phone itself. And it turns out that the dog lead had been ordered from that Galaxy phone, the one with the 8419 number, on the 22nd, which was the day before the murders. But she says it was a new phone that she got after the 23rd. But that Walmart order was the only activity on the phone before the 23rd. Now, when they do their Google magic search that they do on this phone, they find a few interesting things. Like not text messages or calls, but she used her phone for Google searches and she liked Facebook. So she had some private messages on there, like very private, which Facebook is not private. So just note to you youngins out there, don't do sexting on Facebook. Actually, just don't do sexting. It always seems to come back to haunt you. So just don't do it. So what they were looking for was the Google account that was connected to her Gmail, and they had to actually send away for those records. So they got back first the Facebook messages, and they were interesting. And then the Google searches came back, and they were also interesting. And so then on December 2nd, 2019, Lisa Snyder, well, here, just listen to what happened.
This morning at approximately 9 a.m., members of the Pennsylvania State Police arrested Lisa Rochelle Snyder at her home located at 2442 Route 143, Kempton, Albany Township, which is located in Berks County. She has been charged with the following: two counts, murder of the first degree, two counts, murder of the third degree, one count, endangering the welfare of children, one count endangering the welfare of a child for Connor Snyder, and one of those counts is for Brinley Snyder. One count tampering with evidence, one count sexual intercourse with an animal, and one count cruelty to animals.
Oh, wait, I think I missed something really big in there, like an important detail that you might be wondering about. Well, because it was first-degree murder, she was held without bail at the Berks County Prison. Like, you don't get bail in Pennsylvania if you're charged with murder, so it's like a thing. Is that not what you were wondering about? Oh, right, the animal thing. I was hoping we didn't have to talk about that. But since you did, I have to tell you about it. So, Facebook. I'm going to tell you what was in these Facebook messages, but I have to kind of do it in code because there are words and phrases that I can't say on a podcast or on YouTube without getting in trouble here. So you're going to have to put your thinking caps on here and we'll get the gist of it. So she has this friend on Facebook that I'm assuming is a man. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it's a man. And it's someone that she's been seeing in an intimate way, or at least planning on seeing in an intimate way or something like that. Like this isn't her neighbor or one of her kids' teachers. Well, I guess it could be, but I doubt it. Like the guy has never actually publicly been identified. I mean, the police know who he is. They hopefully talked to him personally at some point just to kind of get the what the fudge crackers were you thinking out of him? Okay, so here we go. September 3rd, 3:03 a.m. from Lisa to this guy, which, can I just say, don't send text messages on Facebook after midnight. Like, it's never a good idea. So she says he's, you know, rhymes with meeting and it means consuming food. My, another word for cat, daddy. Okay, well, that's graphic. It's kind of just regular sexting, I guess. Although I don't know why you would be telling one guy about another guy meeting your cat, which I hope you realize there's no actual cat in this story. And for me to, like, the use of the word daddy is just, I don't know, that's probably the most disturbing part of this particular message. Like, don't do that. It just makes me blush and then I have to go brush my teeth. At 3:05, so 2 minutes later, she messages, he keeps moving every time the flash goes off. Okay, well, that's getting a little bit weird. So the next day at 11:28, so in the middle of the day, just before lunch, like you do in the daylight after you had a good night's sleep and you've, you know, slept on your life choices and hopefully made better ones, which she doesn't. And instead, she sends this guy a picture. And in this picture, there's a black and white canine, a dog. I can say dog. It's the family dog. There's nothing wrong with that. But this dog is doing something that dogs shouldn't do, like to other dogs, and certainly not to a human being. You'll just have to use your imagination for the rest of that. But it gets worse. So that night, that same night at 8:23, she messages, he did good up until, how do I say this? There's no words that rhyme here. I don't know. The dog bit her somewhere. Sensitive. So on the 15th at 11:29, she sends sorry kid problems, followed a minute later by major kid problems. And then 2 days later on the 17th at 7:21 in the morning, she writes to this guy, things are bad, bullying issues, and tells me he wants to die. He's 8, lost 25 pounds since the first 3 weeks of school, just breaks my heart. I just want to cry. Then at 11:14 a.m. that same day, the heartbroken Lisa that just wants to cry over her son's bullying issues, apparently, messages, oh, daddy, gross. I just took some good pics for you. And on the 18th of September at 11:10 p.m., she sends this mystery man 3 photos, which at this point, like, the guy knows what's going on with Lisa and this pet of hers. So why he's interested in these photos at all, I would think would make him a criminal as well. Like, if you're caught with explicit photos of someone under the age of 18 in your possession, that's a crime. So if you're like, you've got pictures of someone molesting an animal, I would think that's a crime too. But anyways, I think this guy is just as gross. He's probably not a murderer, but he's icky. Anyways, I'm stalling because I really just do not want to describe these photos to you. So, photo 1. The dog is there. Dog, there's a hand on the dog where you don't usually or should not pet a dog. In photo 2, there's Lisa's, a close-up, I guess, of Lisa's private area with a dog doing something that a dog shouldn't do. And then photo 3, thankfully there's no dog in this one, but there's Lisa in black lingerie. She's holding her phone in her left hand, taking like a wide angle selfie. She's wearing a ball gag and clips that go on a certain area that looks really painful. And in case you are like me, sheltered, obviously, I had to Google what a ball gag is. A ball gag is a toy used to restrict speech as well as create the sense of objectification and helplessness for playtime. The ball itself can be made from a number of different materials, but most popular styles are ball gags that have a ball with holes in it, so breathing is possible, but difficult. And yes, I had to put that in my Google search box, and now when I'm dead, that's what's going to come up in my history, so you're welcome. Ugh, boy. And she follows those photos up at 11:27, like just in case this guy needed some kind of context or something, with, he actually went for it all on his own this time, was laying in bed in my underwear, and he started, rhymes with schmicking, and I went with it. Like, just stop. Good Lord, woman, get a hold of yourself. Anyways, on the 19th at 9:24 p.m., she writes, you'll hopefully see Sunday, which I think I speak for all of us when I would say he's probably seen quite enough at this point, and I think we've all heard enough. She follows that 1 minute later with, but I found out that it's, now it's redacted here, but I think she's talking about Owen, does work and it's all day job, so gonna try option B, which is my mom, so don't get your hopes up. She's a bitch when it comes to babysitting. So clearly Lisa Rochelle Snyder is a class act.
So I think that I would be, during our investigation, these photos were uncovered, which gave us the probable cause to file those charges. They were all filed in one affidavit. Are they connected? I couldn't speak to that. But during the thorough investigation conducted by the Pennsylvania State Police, that those photos were found and they were appropriate for criminal charges and they were charged.
And then her Google searches come back. Now, fortunately, there's nothing here about dogs, but there is about murdering her children. On September 17th, she Googles carbon monoxide in a car, how long to die. On the 20th, almost got away with it, best episodes, which I guess is a TV show on TV that people watch. On the 22nd, just before lunchtime, so 11:19 a.m., she Googles hanging yourself and visits a website with a description of short drop, simple suspension, I lost all hope, which basically describes the most effective use of short drop suspension mechanism for unaliving a person. On the 23rd, which is the day of the murder, at 11:27, she Googles, does hybrid car produce carbon monoxide while idling? So I think it's pretty clear to the police and to us that this was a case of premeditated murder and pure debauchery by a complete waste of skin of a human being, and she was charged as such.
Well, she had expressed to a friend that she was had enough. And, you know, I don't know that there is any explanation for her behavior at all. I don't think that I can stand up here, nor can anyone explain the horrific loss of two innocent children's lives. I think it goes without explanation. Two children's lives were lost here. This was a very emotional investigation for all of those involved. And I want to take this opportunity to applaud the professionalism and hard work of our first responders to this incident, the Kempton Fire Department, the Pennsylvania State Police, and I also want to thank the Kutztown School District for their cooperation in this investigation. This investigation, we will continue to search for the Samsung Galaxy Note and any other evidence that we can obtain, but we are pleased that today that we have filed these charges charging first-degree murder and other charges against Lisa Snyder. And again, I want to thank the efforts of the Pennsylvania State Police and their relentless effort to obtain the truth of what took place here. Yes. We did locate the dog, yes. Okay. However, we were unable to speak to the dog.
Right.
I can't tell you enough that I think that this was a very emotional investigation for those individuals who are standing up here with me, and I give them all the credit in the world. This is not a simple situation. This was a very difficult investigation. Any time that any of us have to investigate, prosecute cases that involved the abuse or death of an innocent child, it all hits us in the heart, life. And to have two children taken at such a young age, and what appears to be two very innocent children, it's just not right, and it's not fair.
Oh, and I should also mention this part. So back in 2014, so when Connor was four, Brinley hadn't been born yet, and Owen would have been about 12, the Berks County Children and Youth Services had gotten involved in the with the family over something that it's apparently top secret because they won't say why. They opened a file on Lisa and the kids, but the kids were actually removed from the home. But she had gotten a lawyer, and then they were returned to her in February of 2015. Now, the only thing they would say is that the file was closed at the time, and it appeared to have been like a proper decision by them, and that they were not aware of any mental health issues that Lisa suffered, and that the biological dad was not in the picture.
There was some prior involvement with Children and Youth Services in our county. And the children had been removed from her care in 2014. They were returned to her care in February of 2015. And CYS had been involved with this family until November of 2015.
Well, the pain and the grief surrounding the deaths of those two children can be felt far beyond Albany Township. And tonight, many people are wondering why Berks County Children and Youth released two children back into Lisa Snyder's care several years ago. More than 2 months after Lisa Snyder called 911 and report she found her son and daughter hanging by a dog cable inside their rural Albany Township home, Snyder was charged with murder. Today, Snyder's relative told me off camera she was depressed and her two sons were removed from her home by Berks County Children and Youth. The relative says it was around July 2014. The relative didn't share many details but told us Snyder retained an attorney and then, as she put it, Children and Youth returned the children to Snyder's care. Her oldest son, now 17 years old, is staying with another relative. Snyder remains in custody, charged with killing her only daughter, 4-year-old Brinley, and her youngest son, 8-year-old Connor.
And this case actually dragged on for about 5 years before there was any kind of closure for Owen and the rest of the family. The original judge in the case that was supposed to hear the case, he passed away. So the case had to be reassigned. So that took some time. And then her defense lawyer spent a lot of time trying to get a bunch of psychological assessments done on Lisa because he was going for a not criminally responsible defense, as well as that the case itself was based on... get this, speculation and guesswork.
I think that Lisa Snyder has maintained that these children committed suicide.
Now, this is Pennsylvania, so it's also a death penalty state. And anytime there's any question of that, there are a bunch of pretrial motions and hearings, and it complicates things a lot. So in the end, she opted for a judge-only or bench trial from Judge Teresa Johnson. So she rejected her initial pleading of no contest by reason of insanity because it wasn't in the interest of justice. Now, so a no contest by reason of insanity is not a guilty plea. It's just basically saying, like, I recognize that there's a lot of evidence against me. It doesn't look good, but I didn't do it. So she rejected that, like, basically, like, she wouldn't even discuss it. And the defense was trying to claim that Lisa had, like, a long history of mental, like, serious mental illness going back to when she was a teenager. But they didn't really have any proof of that. And what she did took some planning and forethought. So that was a no-go. So when the pleading had been rejected, they wanted to originally go to a jury trial. But the prosecution said, well, you know, all those Google searches and like the photos and stuff, those are going to come in as evidence. And the defense is like, well, no, you can't do that. That's not fair. But of course they could. So they decided on a bench trial because a jury of 12 people seeing all that stuff would probably pretty much ensure a conviction. It's pretty prejudicial against her character and all. So it was this bench trial, and Judge Teresa Johnson did not take very long at all to find her guilty of 2 counts of first-degree murder and then all the other gross stuff that she was doing, including the tampering with evidence and, well, just the stuff that we no longer are going to speak about. And so she was sentenced to two life sentences with no parole. Judge Johnson called it one of the worst cases that she had ever heard in her career. And she was really stunned that Lisa showed absolutely no remorse. Like, and she really didn't. Like, she would not, she didn't even address the court. She just sat there looking like all kind of unbelieving and angry that this was happening to her. The prosecuting attorney, John Adams, said to People magazine at the time, "We are very pleased with this verdict. It's something that will probably never leave our minds because it was unimaginable. None of us could ever have imagined the brutality and horrific loss of life. We're very pleased that Lisa Snyder will never see the light of day and will spend the rest of her life in jail where she belongs," end quote. And then Owen, like, he told the court, he had a victim impact statement, and he told the court that Lisa was basically a monster. He no longer considered her to be any mother of his and said, "If I could turn back time, I would, just to hear their voices." He remains to this day very distraught over the loss of his siblings and, of course, the actions of his mother. And that was the horrible case of Brinley and Connor Snyder. Now I need to go brush my teeth. I'm going to be back again next week with another episode. Please do your thing. In the meantime, don't forget to sign up for the ad-free and exclusive episodes available only on the podcast. There should be a link below in the show notes there on the podcast. I would love to do like a Patreon or something on YouTube, but I'm just not there yet, which is my new tagline. My son says, rather than else, any negative self-talk, like you're never going to do this or why aren't you doing such and such, I'm just supposed to say to myself, I'm just not there yet. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.